Now, friends, the 8th chapter, as we come to it today, we find out that it is very similar to the last chapter as far as the length is concerned, and it carries out the great theme of Mark. The emphasis is upon action, what the Lord Jesus did, and that was important to the Romans, and it's important to us today. Is the Lord Jesus able to save to the uttermost? Can he do the job? He's the servant of Jehovah, and we find out that he can. Now, in this chapter, we have the feeding of the 4,000 in the coasts of Decapolis, and we find again the Pharisees are hounding his trail, and they ask for a sign at Dalmanutha. And then the friends of a blind man ask Jesus to touch his eyes at Bethsaida. And then Peter makes his confession of faith in Caesarea Philippi. So you see, he's moving around, friends, and he didn't have a rented Hertz automobile either. And there weren't good highways in that day. He walked. And may I say that he's covering a great deal of ground. That land is a small land. But when you reduce the speed down to walking, it's a pretty good size land. Actually, for territory, you would almost make it the size of this nation of ours when you get people down to walking. And that's what he did. Now, we have here the feeding of the 4,000 that opens this section. And probably we should spend just a moment here looking at something, because some feel that actually the feeding of the 4,000 is a duplication of the feeding of the 5,000. And they practically ignore it. And that's caused someone to say that the feeding of the 4,000 is the neglected miracle of Jesus. And certainly it is. Now, the critic, when he comes to this in his usual fashion, he seeks to rid the Bible of the supernatural. Now, his explanation of this miracle is that it was included after the feeding of the 5,000 to strengthen the claim of the apostles that Jesus was a miracle worker. Well, obviously, if this were true, by the way, the second miracle would be greater than the first miracle. Instead of 4,000, it would be nearly 10,000. And when men exaggerate, they are extravagant and not limited in language. In other words, exaggeration is exaggeration and not restraint. And here, it's restraint, by the way. And frankly, we need to make a contrast between the two miracles. Now, they are strikingly similar in several features. Well, he feeds the thousands. One time it's 5, the other it's 4. All right, that is certainly similar. And there are 7 points of dissimilarity that we need to call your attention to. Now, in the first instance, that is the feeding of the 5,000, the multitude had been with the Lord one day, and in the feeding of the 4,000, 3 days. Now, upon that first occasion with the 5,000, the disciples were told to go and see what supplies were available, while upon the other, they were ready with the information before they were asked. And when the 5,000 were fed, there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and for the 4,000, there are 7 loaves and a few fishes. And again, it was near the Passover here, and the multitude was told to sit in companies upon the green grass. That's when he fed the 5,000. While in the other case, in this one here, why, it's farther along in the year. The grass is no longer green, and they're told to sit on the ground, literally on the earth. And in the first instance, the 5,000, our Lord is said to have blessed the loaves. While upon the second occasion, he said to have given thanks first for the loaves and later to have blessed the fish. After the 5,000 were fed, 12 baskets of fragments remained. But when the 4,000 were satisfied, there were 7 baskets over. And then, finally, the number that was fed was different in each instance. Now, there is, therefore, a sharp contrast between the two is found, therefore, in the time that Jesus fed the multitudes. In the feeding of the 5,000, it was at the conclusion of the first day. Jesus had been teaching them. But according to John, he followed the feeding of the 5,000 with the discourse of the bread of life. This important discourse was sort of an after-dinner speech, you see. But in the feeding of the 4,000, the multitude had been with Jesus for 3 days listening to his teaching. And the physical food followed the teaching. In other words, the crowd had not come out to eat, but to hear the teaching of Jesus. And I think this is an important lesson, by the way, for us here. Are we using church dinners to get the crowd? If so, then our motive is wrong. Many churches can only get people out in the middle of the week to a banquet, and some Bible classes depend upon the food to draw people in for the message. Now, when folk come for the loaves and fishes, they're only rice Christians, and there's no other explanation. Can God bless such efforts, regardless of how pure the motive? Well, I'll let you answer. The end does not always justify the means. Now, I think there are other distinctions that are here, and maybe we'll note them as we go along.